At 5 o'clock, staff began to leave. Some moved quickly to get away before the heavy traffic, to pick up children from a creche, or to catch a commuter train. Over the next hour, the others tidied their desks, put files away, shut down terminals, chatted a little, and then with a cheery wave to Susan from beyond the glass wall of her office, made their way to the cloakroom, and then out through the lobby to the street. At 6 o'clock, the receptionist shut down the switchboard, turned on the voice message, and handed over to Joe, the night security man. The fluorescent lights went dim in the main office as the movement detector detected no movement. At 6:30, 5 of the 6 monthly reports had arrived into her email. The 6th, for the Western region, was late as usual. Susan sent an alert email to Michael in the Western region, emphasising that his return was overdue and that it was essential to have it tonight. She stood and stretched. Taking her handbag from the drawer of her desk, she went out to the ladies' toilet. The cleaners were beginning their work. In the kitchen, she boiled the kettle and made a small pot of mint tea. Carrying the pot and a cup and saucer on a tray, she backed out the swing door of the kitchen and returned to her small glass-enclosed office. Sitting before the screen in her ergonomic chair, she went through each report. Most were fine. They balanced. There were no unusual items. The backing papers were attached. South was not so straightforward. She began composing a long email, querying items. Joe came on the 7 o'clock tour and looked in. "Good evening, Mrs. Ledbetter. Will you be here for a while?" "I will, Joe, as usual." She phoned Michael in the West on his mobile phone. He was at home, but would go back into the office to finish the return and send it to her. It was nearly done, he said, and would only take 15 minutes. She gritted her teeth. Across the road, people were spilling, glass in hand, from the pub onto the pavement. The noise of their loud, happy conversation filtered through to her. Her mobile rang. Lawrence was putting the children to bed, and they wanted to say goodnight. One by one, she spoke to them. Little Larry, sensitive Susie, and the oldest, responsible, Marie. Finally, a few words with Lawrence. "Will you be late?" "Afraid so." "Love you. Love you too." She went and made another pot of tea. As she went out and back through the main office, the light flickered on in response to her movement. She sat down again at the screen. South had come back with responses. The new girl there did not yet fully understand the system. The lights in the main office dimmed down again. They mailed back and forward. Slowly the figures began to line up. Joe passed by on his 8 o'clock round. He did not interrupt her this time. Her tea was cold. She stretched and moved her shoulders. The return from the West arrived with a ping. She opened it and scrolled down. Everything seemed okay. Why could he not have done it earlier? It was not difficult. In the West, they seemed to measure time in seasons rather than hours and minutes. As she started the consolidation, the cleaners came with their vacuum machines. The office lights brightened again. She nodded to them as they vacuumed around her desk and emptied her waste bin. After a cursory dusting, they left the room and closed the door. The building was beginning to chill down. The consolidation and notes would take 2 hours minimum. It had to arrive in Palo Alto for start of business the following day. Every month was the same. Susan worked away. Joe passed in his hourly rounds and she noticed him looking in at her. She just nodded back. When the accounts were complete, she reviewed the cash balances. She transferred unused balances from each of the regions into the central account, as she did every month. Cash flow was strong this month. She then transferred 99% of the cash from the central account to the parent company dollar account. The remainder was transferred to a nominee account in another bank. Her nominee account. Her bank. She reviewed her work, tidied up the notes, created a separate file, and sent the consolidated package to Palo Alto. It was nearly 11. She was tired. It had been a long day. Now for the commute. At least the traffic would be easy at this hour. She said goodnight to Joe at the desk. He liked to talk, to break his boredom and isolation. Good night, Mrs. Ledbetter. All done for tonight? Yes, Joe. It's month end. Always takes time. You put in the hours anyway, Mrs. Ledbetter. How are the children? They are great, thank God. Lawrence is better than any mother to them. He makes it very easy. Things might pick up soon. I am sure he would be glad to get back to work. Joe clearly could not understand a man at home doing the housework all day. She was too tired to argue or explain. Lawrence would be glad to get back to work, but right now someone was needed to mind the children, and Lawrence did it well. How are all yours, Joe?
Well enough, thank God.
I better get going, Joe. Early start in the morning. She needed to get home, have a cup of tea and get to bed. Lawrence would be in bed. He would wake up when she came in. He would know better than to try anything on tonight. But he liked to hold her before they went to sleep, and she liked that too. The auditors would be in next week. Local firm. Same team as last year. The partner was dozy. Into relationship building. The manager was bright enough, but overworked and always under pressure to complete the audit within the budget. The junior was new and would know nothing. It would be different next year. The group auditors would be taking over. But before then, she would clear and close her nominee bank account. She had it under control. No one knew, not even Lawrence. She managed the money and he was grateful. Next year would be different, perhaps. Little Larry would be in school. Lawrence would have a job. She would not need the 1% every month from the company cash balance. But for now, she did need the money. How else would they survive? The mortgage was crippling. Lawrence was out of work. She had to keep up appearances, pay for holidays, put a bit by. There was no choice. And anyway, the company could afford it. As she drove home, she felt her mobile vibrate. There was light in the den. Lawrence was still up, after midnight. Was something wrong? Her stress level surged. Children sick? They were okay at 8. Lawrence would have called. Why was he up at this hour? He was a morning person who liked to be in bed at 10 and to rise at 6. Had he found out something? Lawrence met her at the door, smiling. Nothing was wrong. He made tea for them both and explained. An old friend had called. He was offering a job, a good job. Lawrence was excited. They would be better off. She could afford to give up her work, take a break, spend more time with the children. Give up her work. She liked her work. It was important. He did not understand how important. Did she really want more time with the children? She loved them, but did she want to be with them all day, every day? She checked her mobile. There was a message from Palo Alto. Greg and Simon wanted to conference first thing AM. Finance director and CAO, what do they want? Urgently. Had Greg spotted something? She had only met Simon once. He had a reputation for hire and fire. She did not sleep well. While Lawrence snored and the children snuffled and occasionally shouted out in their dreams, if her crime was revealed, people would point. Lawrence would be mystified, annoyed, but pretending to understand. Words clamoured for attention. Mother, professional, integrity, scandal, court case. She could go to jail. She would certainly be blacklisted. She tried to think. It was 3 a.m. on the digital clock radio. She could see no escape if they had uncovered the discrepancy. How would she explain the nominee bank account, the shortfalls? By 4 a.m. she was ready to email a confession and resign. Perhaps then there would be no publicity, no court case. She would explain to the family. She was giving up work because of Lawrence's new job. By daybreak, she had reconsidered. She would wait and see what they had to say. Perhaps there was a way out. First thing a.m. in Palo Alto was 3 p.m. in Dublin. Susan kept busy in the morning to keep her darker thoughts at bay. At lunchtime, she took a walk along the canal to clear her head and get her approach straight. They would have looked at this month's accounts. Perhaps they had suspicions from previous months that were now confirmed. Should she just listen to what they had to say before she said anything, or would it be better to own up and clear the air? In the end, she decided to say nothing. Let them speak first. She could deny everything or say she will investigate. It must be a mistake. Buy time. At 2:30, she went to the ladies' room and touched up her makeup. At 3, she logged in. Greg was there, but Simon was missing. Greg said he would call her back as soon as he could raise Simon on his cell phone. He also wanted Jackie, HR director, to sit in. Susan's smile tightened. This was definitely not routine. At 3:15, her computer bleeped. She checked that her office door was closed before she responded. On a split computer screen, she could see Greg, Simon, and a woman who must be Jackie. Greg did the introductions, thanked her for taking the time. She nodded. Susan, Greg said, we have been looking at your work over the last 2 years and at the accounts you returned last night. Susan could feel the tension in her neck. We are impressed by your performance, he continued. Your returns are always on time, always complete with good notes, highlighting the key issues. Susan was waiting for the but. We have a vacancy coming up for group internal auditor. We would like you to apply for the job. Now, I can anticipate some of your objections, your young family, your husband's career, lot of travel, etc. We have thought about that and we feel this job could be based in Dublin. It will involve travel, but there will be generous allowances. Jackie, the HR director, intervened. Of course, we will have to advertise internally and there will be other applicants. Greg spoke again. We just want to be sure that you understand the nature of the job and put in a serious application. At last, Simon spoke. This is a great opportunity for you, Sue. We are going places as a company. We just need to be sure that we have the right people in place for our expansion. We think that you should give this your best shot. She promised to think seriously about it. When they closed the link, she relaxed. As group internal auditor, she could cover all her past tracks and anything else she might do in the future. Lawrence would have to turn down his new job offer.
That was Mrs. Ledbetter by Patrick Talbot, read by Katrina Nivaraku and produced by Aoife Ní Cormac. It's a shortlisted story from the 2014 RTE Radio Francis McManus Short Story Competition. The series continues tomorrow with Headshot by John Martin, read by Keith Hanna. The shortlisted stories can be heard on the programme website on rte.ie/radio1/Francis McManus short story. The series producer is Cliona Ní An Luan.